Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. This is episode number 275, and we are at one of the best locations, or definitely, hands down, the best location we've ever filmed a podcast, at King's Barns, and we've got the place to ourselves. We've got Liam with Fife Golf. We've got Gavin with ShotScope here with us. So we've got great guests, special guests. We've got a great venue. We've got a great show. And we're going to be talking about our huge Scotland trip, something you guys have heard us talking about for many weeks now leading up to this. We are, what would you say, 3/4 of the way through it?
I'd say just about that. We got 2 more rounds left.
Yeah.
We just got chewed up by King's Barns. I did.
we did get chewed up a bit. But I would say it's so far exceeded the high bar of expectations that we've had so far. And that's in large part in thanks to these guys. And we really appreciate you, A, hosting us, but B, showing us around.
It's an absolute pleasure.
And it's really what's made the trip so valuable to us.
Great to have you here.
Just, I think, trying to put this together on our own and not knowing and it being our first trip might have been a little bit of a challenge. So thank you. It's really been terrific. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So let's just kick it off and talk a little bit about some of the rounds and some of the favorite highlights. We got to play the Old Course.
We did.
Which was terrific.
We lucked out there, right? Didn't know it coming in.
Did not. That was one of those ones where, and again, we appreciate you guys being able to shift things around because we put ourselves in the lotto, and if it happened, it happened, and we were going to get out there. So that was really a tremendous one. But I think, and Gavin, you and I have been chatting about this a little bit when we're out there playing. The diversity of the golf here is what surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, that trying to put a trip together with Liam, that's the keys. Show you guys what Scotland has to offer, the different courses, you know, whether it's held an open, like obviously the Old Course, or European Tour events like King's Barns, but then take you to places like Ely, Lady Bank, which are sort of termed as Scotland's hidden gems.
Yeah.
Great courses, great condition, fun, easy to play in sort of 4 hours, and tricky, scoreable, you can make a mess, you can just have good fun out there, and that's, you know, tried to be the hallmark of the trip.
You know, we have 48 golf courses in Fife, so you know, you've paid a sort of smaller selection round about the St Andrews area, but you know, if you move inland and you move across towards where the bridges are over to Edinburgh, you know, there's a couple of courses there, Parkland courses, Aberdour, which is stunning views across the Firth of Forth towards Edinburgh. It's just amazing, absolutely amazing. Yeah. Petrievi Golf Club, Dr. Alistair McKenzie designed, same guy that designed Augusta. Dunfermline Pitferren Golf Club is a Parkland course that's got a castle for a clubhouse. And John Reid, one of the founder members there, is the guy credited with taking the game to the States.
Wow.
So so he was the guy, he was one of the founder members of the St. Andrews Club in Yonkers, in New York.
Wow. And it is even just the diversity within it, what we've got to play. We think Scotland, we think Lynx, but Lady Bank.
Yeah.
You know, perfect example of more of like a Parkland type of course. And
and
the diversity is in such a tight area. I think we've maybe, as you said, we could probably travel further out, but we've driven maybe 20 minutes each day.
Absolutely,
And I remember because I punched it into the GPS and just you could put golf in and you could be scrolling
for
quite a while within a 10, 20 mile radius here. So there's so much great golf. Would you have any other inside tips for someone who's putting their own trip together? Because I feel like a lot of people, they just, they hit the ones you always think about here, King's Barn, something like that. But is there any tips you would have for them that to try to see something that they might otherwise miss?
It's, you know, what we tried to do with this trip for you guys, as Gavin has alluded to, is show you more than just St. Andrews. You know, St. Andrews is a phenomenal place. It's unique. It is the home of golf. You know, I have the pleasure of going there on a regular basis. Every time I drive into the town, it just feels amazing. It feels special. It picks up your day, you know? And what we've tried to show you guys is that just by coming down the coast slightly, you can experience, you know, a completely different type of golf product that is, you know, it's not massively expensive to play. It's very, very historic. It's really enjoyable. It's a great experience. It's a real golf club experience. Mm-hmm. So anyone looking to organize a trip, there are a couple of things I always think they should remember when they're coming to Scotland. Nothing is far away from something else in Scotland. Mm-hmm. You know, we are a very small country. We have a population of 5.5 million. But you can be up a mountain, you can be on a beach, you can be in a city and on a golf course all on the same day. Yeah. So look at a map and understand the distances. You know, from Edinburgh Airport to St Andrews takes you just over an hour to drive. You then have, you know, almost 50 golf courses all within an hour's drive, you know, when you stay in St Andrews. So yeah, you've got a huge opportunity. So do some research. You know, come to our website, visit5golf.com, you know, where there's lots of information about the golf courses, accommodation providers, and just get in touch with people, you know, whether it be through myself or Visit Scotland, who can actually help you with information to pull that trip together yourself.
Yeah. The other thing is the season's April to the end of October.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, you've got a wide range. A lot of people try and cram it in June, July. Mm-hmm. But you've got lots of time to play great golf in October. Courses are in really good condition.
Absolutely. And just on that, we find there's a lot of Scandinavians and Northern Europeans choose to come here in sort of the April, start of May, and then also late September, all of October, because a bit of cold wind doesn't bother them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have the driest weather of the year then as well. But the other myth I'd like to burst as well is that Scotland is actually really quite dry on this side of the country, especially. Mm-hmm. St Andrews climate is normally drier than London on an annual basis. So, you know, if you're prepared to go to London, definitely come to Scotland.
There you go. And it's been so accessible too. Lots of direct flights from around the States into Edinburgh. And then, as you said, an hour drive.
Yes.
So for us, I mean, from New York, if you think a 6-hour flight and an hour drive and we're right here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other golf destinations which require quite a bit more work to get to.
Yeah.
This. So I mean, it's very accessible.
Off the top of my head, New York, Philadelphia, Chicago are definitely directs.
JFK as well.
Yeah. So it's pretty simple to get here.
Yeah, nice and easy. And then, you know, the other thing that we've been doing, as you know, is we've been working every round, tracing our rounds on the shot scope. And one big question that comes up, and you reminded me when we talked about weather, but a lot of, as we do our leaderboards, you see a lot of very long drives coming out of Scotland.
Yep.
You want to explain to us why?
Firm ground.
Yeah.
Take some firm ground.
And wind.
50 mile per hour wind, and you can hit it 350 really easily.
Yeah.
And last year was incredibly dry. So, I mean, we were recording long drives. I mean, I was recording sort of 400 plus a few times. Right.
I wasn't.
And there's lots of guys, you know, if you're choosing the right course, it's slightly downhill, downwind, it goes for miles.
Yeah. So there's your key on how if you want to top the leaderboard, just head on over.
That's it.
But firm, but in a way too, like I feel like I had to fix one pitch mark almost these last couple rounds, especially playing by the sea because of whatever. But I never felt like the greens in any way were firm that I couldn't hold them. I feel like everywhere we've gone, it's been in good condition. As you said, the varied, from whether you think of it, that variation from price tag or whatever of types of courses, they were all in terrific shape. You can see that there's a lot of love and care for how these courses are cared for. Even the Hickory Golf, that experience, how they even tried to use the authentic equipment to care for that course. There's just a lot of care that seems to go into it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the greenkeepers work incredibly hard.
They do.
And the other thing, you know, don't often see the greenkeepers because it's light here at 4:35 in the morning at this time of year. They're out there at that time. Yeah. Their day finishes at maybe 1.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that. I woke up the other morning to go to the bathroom at 4:00 in the morning, and I said, "Why is it light out?"
It's
incredible, and it gets dark at 10:30.
So
if you could cram 3 rounds in, if you really want, daring,
but 2 rounds does make it easy. A couple times we played the morning round, get a nice lunch, have a little bit of a break, and then go back out.
There's time to do that.
Yeah, we came off 18. At St. Andrews, it was 10 p.m.
It was 10, a little after 10.
Yeah.
And we did just that today. We went out of Corral in the 9:00 hour.
Yeah.
Went off here at King's Barnes at 2:40.
Yeah.
Had some dinner, and here we are about, what time is it, 9:00? No, right. 7:00, 7:30.
Yeah, it was terrific. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that I want to talk to and talk about, Gavin, Some people don't know that ShotScope is a Scotland-based company.
Sure. Yep. So we are based down in Edinburgh. Nearly been on the go for 5 years now. So the product was up until recently manufactured in Scotland as well. So yeah, it's the whole, we've got a few internationals in the company.
Yeah.
In different roles, but yeah, it's a Scottish company.
It's good to see so many golfers in a golf company. I know that sounds kind of weird, but we do run into some golf companies that don't have, you know.
Yeah.
But you've got some terrific, and we've gotten a chance to play with a few you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Jen, David, yourself, some terrific golfers, and
I think from a company standpoint, that's key for us on a couple aspects. One, driving the product, driving, you know, especially software upgrades. How's that user going to look at it? It's having golfers, not only that, but we have a range of golfers through from sort of myself, Jen's mm-hmm. plus one golfer. Mm-hmm. You'll hopefully see her in a few videos.
Yep, you will, for sure.
Up into our product owner, Ali, who you're actually playing with tomorrow afternoon, plays off 23. You know, so that when we sit and discuss potential features, etc., you get it from all aspects of golfers. How does it affect? So for instance, long driving distance. Okay, that's cool. Maybe I'll figure at the top of that leaderboard. But Ali will sit there and say, well, actually, I would find this interesting. So it provides a great sort of board to bounce things off and understand how are we going to take the product forward and the offering forward and make sure that all our users are happy.
Yeah, it works. It, you know, as we can see in the product, it does work well. But it is a refreshing kind of breath of fresh air for us to see a company that is as invested in the game as you guys are.
I mean, that's we sit there. Every conversation is golf related. I mean, you meet Jen's just, this is what happened at the weekend. You know, she played this morning with you guys at Crail.
Yep.
Whether you know it or not, she's off playing a scratch match tonight.
Yep.
In a Parkland course, you know, an hour away.
Yeah.
She's back tomorrow to play. She's a bit annoyed she's not playing first thing tomorrow morning. And it just doesn't stop. And all the guys and the girls play different levels. They get lots of enjoyment out of the game. They've all played from young as well.
Yeah.
And they all continue to play, and they play with their dads, their uncles, their mums, and so it's just part of the sort of culture here.
And it's a great culture you created. Is that something that came off? Was that intentional? Do you feel like when you were building the team, was having that golf experience something that was important and key to you?
It's advantageous. So in some respects, so for instance, Jen came on board a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And we were specifically, I was looking for a golfer.
Yeah.
And instead of actually advertising the role, I said, okay, let me go and talk to a couple of friends that I know. Let's see who's around. Let's try and understand who's coming out of university that we think would make a great fit and that they're a good golfer, and mm-hmm. et cetera. Some of the roles in the technical team, it's more golf as an advantage.
Right.
You have to have it in certain positions, but it's difficult to find an iOS developer that's a 6 handicapper.
Right.
There's not many of them that exist. Right. So it's advantageous in others. But one of the other cool things is we've done Thursday night driving ranges during the winter. Mm-hmm. So the non-golfers in the company can come up. I spend quite a bit of time doing a little bit of teaching, but that's okay. Right, I don't mind it. Yeah. And
free advice. Okay.
And they get into the game. And a couple of them have started playing a bit more regularly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a nice way for the whole company to get together as well. So we're trying to get more golfers in, but you know, at the end of the day, when we're trying to bring people into the company, it's what's their skill set for that role.
Right.
Let's get the best person in.
That makes a lot of sense, for sure. And then you've seen quite a bit of growth with ShotScope users here, but also in the States.
Yeah, so currently it would be 45% of sales are UK, mm-hmm. 45% is US, and 10% would be European.
Okay.
So, you know, we have a pretty decent sized user base now in the US, competing on the leaderboards, the medals, and, mm-hmm. and playing regularly. Yeah.
Gotcha. And I've been interested to ask you this question and get an idea of what your take is and what your feel is of what do you think some of the greatest assets of tracking your stats are? Because I have some of my own opinions, but I want to see what yours are.
Okay. So there's a couple of different things that I've seen over the last couple of years that I didn't necessarily think this is why somebody would want to do, is track their stats. One is evaluating purchases. Okay. So you go out and buy a $500 driver and you're able to compare it against your previous driver. Mm-hmm. Or even better, you demo one and you can work out whether it's worth purchasing.
I like that.
Gapping is unbelievably important. And I think a lot of people come to tracking for the first time, think that they've got their bag set up, especially that kind of hybrid long iron position. And they start to find, well, they've got three clubs that literally go the same distance. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is around the green short game. I've seen a lot of improvements from people understanding that they either pitch with only two clubs and they need to expand that, or they pitch with clubs often that aren't very effective and they can stop using it. I know one user, for instance, that hit about 10 or 12% of their short game shots with a hybrid around the greens and they were not very good at it. and so they just stopped doing it.
Yeah.
But the system allowed them to learn that.
Make a smarter decision.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting from the equipment standpoint. That I hadn't too much thought about. I think about it a lot from a standpoint of, you know, personal game improvement through practice, working with a coach. But you're right, as far as the equipment goes. And it's interesting to me, we talked about it on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, prior to even meeting Jen, by her just being able to dive into the data that we sent her from our ShotScope, the insight she immediately had and the suggestions she had was kind of mind-blowing to me from someone who's never actually seen me swing a club. And I'm like, you know what? She's right there. Yeah. And I do got to work on that, you know? And I thought that was very interesting. Do you find a lot of people who are sharing their data with coaches to do similar types of things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big part. I think you have that initial realization of, I've been tracking for 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. Oh, this sticks out to me. This sticks out to me. I can make these changes. And then you have the guys that work with a coach monthly per se and say, okay, what you start to realize is, or Liam used to teach quite a lot, so he'll get this. Teaching tends to take the form of standing on a driving range, watching somebody hit a golf ball.
Right, right.
And I think what tracking allows them to say is, well, actually there's 5 areas of the game. You know, why are we concentrating on one, i.e. the long game? Mm-hmm. Let's start to talk about wedge game or short game and improvement. So hopefully they're sharing data with their coaches and the coach is sitting there saying, okay, well, actually it's pretty clear we need to get on the putting green and work a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the cool thing to be done. It might not be a lesson that they've had before, but we can make a tangible improvement quite quickly.
Yeah,
sure.
And the other advantage is you can come back a month later and go, yes, that's made a difference.
Right.
And that's the key, because at the end of the day, you know, we want to be spending money on equipment that's going to help us improve or better our game. Mm-hmm. The same goes for lessons.
And we got to experience that firsthand when we did our putting lesson with Kevin Sprecher, which is, it's not, you know, the sexiest lesson in the world. No. You know, it's not like being on the range, but, you know, looking at the data, being out there, knowing we needed to work on that there. And then you've seen improvement, right? I mean, you look into the stats, you start to see less three putts, more putts range. We know you made enough putts this week from downtown.
Downtown only. Yeah. I missed a lot of short putts.
Yes. But sure. It does. It does shed a light on it. And then for me, and this I think goes for someone who, even if you, because we have all different levels of how seriously we take this game. And I think you can enjoy it at any one of those levels. It's a spectrum. Even if you were just the type of golfer who just liked where you're at, you're not looking to get any better, you hopefully don't get any worse, but you're just going out there to have fun. Personally, what I like and what I've been enjoying with using the ShotScope, and it, to me, you know, I wanted to thank you for being able to bring this to us, is it's better than me going in and buying the ball marker from the course or buying something from the pro shop as a memento. The memento I have that I can look back at every single shot that I played, everywhere I played, to me, that's really important. And I have, and I'll even screenshot in the app the overlay of the course, and you can see the way I made my way around the course. Like, that was something that was not accessible only a few years ago. You know, the fact that I can go in 10 years from now and look at every shot I took on the Old Course or King's Barns. Yep. It's invaluable to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I whether I use that data to improve or not, or just be able to look back at it and say that this is my souvenir.
Yep.
I think that's been something special for me.
You're totally right, because I made the joke that I've been playing the Old Course on the WGT golf game for 4 years. And I know that course like the back of my hand because of the video game.
Yeah.
So I can always go back to the shot scope and say, on 12, I drove the green at 312 yard drive.
Yeah.
Two putt for birdie. And I have it.
Yeah.
You drove the green on nine.
Right.
Two putt birdie.
Yep.
And you have it. It's phenomenal.
Which would be, normally we'd go back to the office, you know, you'd see your friends. It'd be like that fish story that just keeps getting bigger.
Right.
And nobody believes you. Well, now it's like, yeah, look, here it is. I did it. Yeah.
I mean, we've had a few users that have come to us and said, oh, by the way, I'm going on a 14-day trip to the west coast of the US, playing all up the coast. I'm going to use my shot scope just to record that trip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it's a use of the system that we didn't envisage.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you sit there and you look back at great courses that you've played or great moments that you had on courses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And reminisce.
Yeah.
And you got to love the medals. We both earned the open course medal.
Yeah, that's a nice one. That's a nice one to put in the back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been all tremendous. What do you say we do a quick word from our sponsor and then we'll dive in a little bit deeper into the trip?
Sure.
Sounds good. All right, guys. Oh, we want to thank Titleist again for sponsoring this episode. If you haven't had a chance yet to check out the Vokey SM7 wedges, definitely do so. If anything has driven it home even more for me, it's been this trip. We've had to very much rely on them. A lot of short game pressure this trip. A lot of shots that we've had to execute out of some deep bunkers that we did not have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at home, we don't get to experience that. My 60-degree wedge, my 56 has been in my hand quite a bit. My 48, there's been a lot of different situations where I've had to rely on them. So it's really impressed me with that performance. How about yourself?
Yeah, big time. Absolutely. Very reliable club. You know, from 48, 56, and 60. But definitely check them out. If you can't get fitted, I mean, we highly suggest you work with a fitter, get fitted for the Vokeys. But if not, check out the website, Vokey.com. They have an awesome tool on there. It's the Vokey Wedge Tool. It helps mm-hmm. you select which bounce, grind, loft is appropriate for your game. It's really simple to use. It's only a few questions. It walks you right through. It's a no-brainer. Check it out. Highly recommend it. Vokey.com.
For sure. You guys are not going to want to miss that. We also want to thank ShotScope. And you've heard us talk about it on the podcast before. You've heard us mention ShotScope quite a few times. But here's where I want to take a moment to just pause and really thank them. Thank the whole team. Gavin, who's here with us right now, for everything that they do, for putting this trip together for us, for hosting us, bringing us out here, and for everything that you do for supporting the podcast, supporting the group. You guys are all great to know in the Facebook group that we have, answering questions. You've done a tremendous job with giving some incredible deals on the product itself. So thank you for all of that. I wanted to just take a moment and get a chance to say that.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah. To be honest, I really enjoy the Facebook group.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to sort of click on a couple of notifications. Guys are sort of asking this question or having a conversation themselves about the product. You know, it's really cool to see. And
yeah,
it's just good fun to be part of.
And I love seeing them share those medals. Yes. And, right?
It's great.
Yeah.
And I love, I mean, the most probably is the feedback about ShotScope's support.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, by far, they say it's the best. So. Yeah,
for sure. And we've got the leaderboard still going right now. Leaderboard's
still going in June. Currently, we're looking at greens yep. and regulation. So whoever set the top of the leaderboard at the end of June is going to get another prize.
Yeah. So get up there and hit some greens and regulation. We'll see you guys on the leaderboard. Make sure you use our code GICITY to join the ShotScope leaderboard. And if you haven't yet checked out ShotScope, go to shotscope.com/golficity. You'll be able to see a little bit more about the product. And that's where you're going to get the best deal on the product itself. So make sure you guys check that out. Okay, so jumping back into our conversation, Mike, was there something I missed before?
Well, I wanted to go back to Liam for a second because we were talking about, you know, advice on traveling here mm-hmm. and for those, because a lot of buddies at home say, oh, it's a trip I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Where do I start? And I never would have thought about staying at the University of St. Andrews. You know, what's the first thing you think of? You go to TripAdvisor, you look at an Airbnb, you try to find a hotel.
Right.
Perfect accommodations.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually, so the school is out of session.
Yep.
They turn it into a bed and breakfast style
yep.
Lodging with great Wi-Fi, which we're so thrilled that you said. You know, that's key for us, right?
More important than food.
More important than food, but convenience, friendly staff. I mean, we're a walk away.
We walk to the Dunn Vegan. We walk to the old course.
Pretty much walk to everywhere every night.
Yeah.
Short walk, very convenient. So thank you for that recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem at all. You know, it's a great facility to have. We, you know, in St. Andrews area, we've got 5-star resort hotels, we've got 5-star hotels, we've got country house hotels, guest houses, exclusive use properties. And the university just adds that mix, that variety. So there's something, there's accommodation for every budget, you know, and every taste, which we're very fortunate to have.
Yeah, and the golfers are certainly onto it. It's funny, in the morning, sitting at breakfast, yep. You see about 10 there's golfers,
you know,
all trying to eat to get to their tea time, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just all give each other the nod. Yeah.
Yes.
We know. Yep. Yep. Go low today. Enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's great. All right. So again, it's been a phenomenal trip so far. Mike, do you have a highlight so far?
The old course was a highlight because it's one of those bucket lists that you see on TV, you
absolutely.
Hear about it, you know, playing the video games. Kings Barnes was something we came into as kind of our most excited because we didn't know, like you said at the beginning of the show. And you'll see it in the video. Gavin, would you have 2 eagles and 3 birdies today? I mean, or something like that.
Four birdies. Don't shortchange him.
Come on. You know, and our fatigue. Well, I'm not going to put you on this. My fatigue set in here. But for me, I mean, a highlight as far as beauty. I mean, I'm looking out right now on the water here on the 18th at Kings Barnes. I mean, I haven't been at a course as beautiful as this.
Yeah, it's tremendous. I could sit here all night. Yeah. One that surprised me, and I apologize if I butcher names. Everybody knows we're going to. But Ely?
Yeah, Ely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The vibe there, I really liked. I mean, when we were out there, it felt like a real coastal town. Like the sea air. It was beautiful.
Absolutely.
You had the scenes like this. Remember the par 3? Well, you can't forget because the hole before it was the one where you drained the long putt.
95-footer.
Yeah. But just when we started to work down towards the coastline, and I really enjoyed that. And I almost wasn't expecting to see so many golf courses like that.
Yeah.
You know, because coming from the States, we often see the pictures. We see that on Instagram. Yeah. We see Kings Barnes. We don't get to see those.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So those are the ones that really surprised me.
Absolutely. You know, and that's something that we work very hard to promote. You know, when we're traveling around, we do a lot of promotional work, you know, in the rest of Europe, and we do some stuff out in the States as well. Mm-hmm. And the product that people understand and know about when we travel is normally the King's Barnes and the old courses, and then Castle Stewart's and places like that.
Yeah.
They are fabulous golf products, but they are higher end, you know, in the price bracket. And what we do is we say, well, we've got all these fantastic courses, these trophy courses, these major championship venues, but we have these another fantastic variety of courses as well. So play some of these courses, your King's Barnes, but also look at your London Links and your Ely's and your Crails. Because part of the conversations I have when I go away and speak to golfers is that they have sort of misperceptions of Scotland, that Scotland is expensive to play golf in, the golf courses aren't accessible, and they're not a good enough golfer to come and play golf in Scotland. Mm. Now, you know, you guys just know that's not true.
Right.
You can you can play these fantastic historic courses we've spoken about for between £50 to £100.
Yep.
Golf courses are very accessible. They're very welcoming to men and women. You know, well, there's been a lot of issue made about that, but you know, it's really not the case here. Now, you know, there's been some really positive changes made in the last number of years that's changed that. And you don't have to be that, you know, scratch golfer or single digit golfer. You know, come here, we're open, we're welcome.
Yeah.
You know, everyone can come here regardless of your budget or your ability and have a fantastic golf vacation. There's no question about it.
Yeah, we've absolutely seen our fair share of range of golfers out there.
Oh yeah.
Everyone's got a smile on their face.
Mm.
And how could you not? But
am I not getting a highlight of the trip?
You will. You'll get a highlight. Is it just gonna
I'm waiting
be,
for this.
Is it just going to be so you can rub in those 2 eagles again?
No.
But what I was going to say is, speaking to the ability, everyone was very good here as far as the tee structure too.
Yes.
Of where to play from. I feel like in the States, a lot of times we just get the red, the white, and the blues, you know, and then go back to the blacks a little bit. But here it was a very welcoming, and everywhere we went, it seemed to like tell you the right tees to play for your handicap. So you're not just going to be struggling your way through some of these very difficult courses. Even here at Kings Barnes can play very difficult if you want to play it back.
That's right.
Yeah. You can play it up a little bit mm-hmm. more and have a little bit more of an enjoyable day if you're a higher handicapper. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you bringing that up, but let's let Gavin have his highlight of the trip.
Let's what it, easily the Hickory Golf.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Mainly two reasons. So I've played all over Scotland.
Mm. Yeah.
I've never played Hickory Golf.
Yep.
Never been there. I know people who have. They rave about it. Seeing you guys turn up like you did.
Yeah.
And then standing.
Great outfits, guys. Great outfits.
We had fun with that.
It was just really good fun. Nine holes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How they used to do it 100 years ago. Had never thought about how to hit a ball with those clubs.
Yep.
How to hit those balls. And just absolutely loved it.
And the whole experience is lovely as well because, you know, Ross there, the golf experience manager, he's so knowledgeable about it and he'll give the introduction and, you know, you feel that you have a real knowledge of Hickory Golf before you tee off and he'll give you some advice and a few tips. And then you come in, you get the ginger beer and the shortbread and stuff and sit around the table and talk about your ride. It's just totally unique. You know, there's nothing like it. It's fantastic.
You get that history lesson and then it was so peaceful
it
out
was
there.
Very
peaceful. Right?
And 2,000 yards, but it played a lot longer than those clubs, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it went so quick. I felt like it was quick.
Yeah.
And I remember on the first tee, I mean, if I think I got a 7 on the first hole. I didn't get it yet. I didn't.
Yeah.
But then it started to click. You know, it really did. It started to come together. But
you're right about it being quick. And that's where I would say, and because as we flash back to what we talked about earlier with everything being so close, I think it's that perfect thing to round out. If you've got another round in the afternoon or something, you can squeeze that in.
Well,
perfect.
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. You can go and play great golf courses all over the world and you play great golf courses here. But there's not many places you can go and do that.
Yeah.
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 And that's
especially
totally
something as legitimate as that. It's not like it was manufactured. It's that was a authentic. Real golf course that they explained that they had found the map on
that's
the family's farm and then they basically renewed it.
Yeah.
That was something.
And
that
they
was
used
there.
The equipment and the sheep and and all of that.
And, and it's just, you know, you're putting on greens that there's daisies on and stuff like that. It's just wonderful. You know, you can't imagine going back 100 years.
You can't.
And that being the experience.
Right. Yeah. But you dress the part, you feel like you are there back 100 years, right?
Yeah, exactly. And how long did it take for us to find those outfits? We went to about 11 stores.
We did.
It did well, guys. You look sharp.
We pieced it together. It wasn't the real plus fours.
You would be surprised how hard it was to find plus fours in St. Andrews.
That's because everyone comes with their own.
That's true. But we did find it. A little digging, and we found what we
did find it. Yeah. And as Liam mentioned, Ross at Hickory Golf, he did go through that whole experience with us. He did explain it all. That will be in that video. So
for
stay
sure
tuned for that.
Which we have two hard drives full of amazing experiences and videos to share with you guys, which we can't wait to share with you guys. You'll see those in July. And August. We'll be rolling them out. Just amazing. And we played in every little type of weather. We've experienced wind. We've had days where they were nice and calm. We had a little bit of the rain. We had beautiful sunshine.
Yep.
As we had today, two rounds in that. So you get a little bit of everything there too. But I was shocked at how quickly the weather changes.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to check it every 6 hours.
Saturday, I thought we weren't playing. And they ended up the sort of 18 holes at Lady Bank. Yeah. Beautiful, no wind, warm, just really enjoyable.
Warm. Yeah.
And that was a busy golf course that day.
Yep.
And we hardly saw anyone.
So don't cancel your tee time if it looks like rain.
No, that's right.
Wait as long as you can.
Yeah. But you don't get rained out here.
Yeah.
Very rarely do you get rained out.
Yeah. You play anyway, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's everything we have. Again, thank you both for being our guests today.
Thank you.
It was terrific getting out there and playing with such great golfers as yourselves. Appreciate
one
you guys.
One better than another.
Formerly.
Appreciate you guys putting up with us weaving the long way through the track as you guys took it nicely.
You add color to the game.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
That's a good way to put it.
at one point, Gavin says to me, "Nice to see you again. I think I saw you 500 yards ago." Because I'm like, I took the high road over there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been great. And the good news for us is the trip isn't over yet.
Right.
We've got two more rounds of golf tomorrow. Where are we playing tomorrow, Gavin?
Playing St. Andrews Jubilee, which is sort of right beside the old course. And then we're playing at St. Andrews Fairmont, which is just above the town, So we'll have some nice views down looking onto the course.
I believe we drove past it coming here.
Yeah, you did.
That's right.
Yeah,
you did. I think I saw the sign there.
Yeah. So that's good. I played it on Friday and it's in great shape. Okay. Really good shape.
You get to play there with Jen. So, I mean, Jen will be out for blood as always. Well,
keep beating up.
I heard too that the caddy, tell me if this is true, the caddy said he felt like the last four holes there were the hardest stretch.
At the Jubilee.
Yeah.
Yes. The hardest stretch in Sandra's.
Yeah.
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 And that's our first course of the day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I didn't want to end the trip on those four holes.
End the trip on the four hardest holes?
Yeah.
That could be a challenge in and of itself. So, again, we appreciate everything. It's been a great experience so far. I hope all of you enjoyed tuning in and hearing a little bit about it. I'm sure we'll be chatting about it in the Facebook group for quite some time to come. You guys know, you know, Mike and I always like to connect with you guys however we can. So if you do have questions, if you've got a Scotland trip plan, make sure you message us, post it in the Facebook group. This has been such a learning experience for us that we are more than happy to share that knowledge and the things that we've learned from being here, because you can read about it. We've done it. You know, we picked up a couple books on playing in Scotland and stuff. We've done a little bit of our homework, but there's nothing like actually being here. You learn so much. You learn the nuances of it. So if you've got a trip planned, if you're thinking about it, let us know. Post it in the Facebook group. Message
us. I'll get Liam into the Facebook group. And
oh, terrific.
Yeah, myself, yeah, right. Jen,
fantastic.
Liam. Yeah. You know, ask any question about Scotland or the UK, and we'll try our best to help. So
it's invaluable, that inside information. Being able to talk to someone who's there, know a little bit more about it.
Frank's had more fish and chips than he's had birdies on this trip. But
true.
Best place you've had fish and chips?
Ooh. Actually, as of this moment, it's the Dunn Vegan.
There you go.
Which I was talking to my caddy. He said their food just got better in the last 6 months for whatever reason. So I'm perfect timing, but I've had it now at four places.
Yeah. Right? I've been here for five.
Yeah. Days. But I'm not done yet, because I'm still getting my recommendations of more places to try.
There you go.
There's no shortage of places to try. And I don't mind having it for every meal when it's this good. Right. So.
There's still time tonight as well for your second of the day.
There is time. I don't know if I could pull it off. We'll try.
All right.
All right, guys. Thanks as always for tuning in. As always, like I said, check out the Facebook group. We'd love to have you guys in there. It's a free group. You can go on Facebook, just search Golficity or the Golf Podcast. We are very easy to find, and we'd love to have you, because it's the greatest way for us to continue the conversation. I'm sure we'll be talking about, we've been posting some status updates in there throughout our trip. And we'd love to have that way that we can make this a two-way conversation and speak directly with you guys. So make sure you join the group, and we'll see everybody again next week. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. Thank you.